Thursday, August 15th, in the morning, I drove with Lyndon and Marie and Mary Rather to that dilapidated ghost house that used to belong to the Dance Sisters. It is one of Lyndon's projects in this quiet month of August, and it is no longer quite dilapidated. A fresh new white with green trim. And each day we take up some more articles of furniture or paintings that we have brought on our travels and have not hung. In it live three Mexicans who are building dams from the Scharnhorst place, stonemasons. And Lyndon, the paternalist, is as interested in their furniture and stove and bathtub and heaters as he once was with the Hartmans. We drove by the new hay barn under construction. There is something about off time with him, any quiet time at the ranch, that causes new projects to sprout on this landscape. In Stonewall, we ran into Betty Weinheimer, who had inquired about the bluebells on the way to Albert, and she had gotten the message that the farmer who owned the land would be delighted to have us pick up some. In the afternoon, I went with James to take the two white crepe myrtles that Nancy Negley had brought to me. We sat them in their cans around the little house where Lyndon was born, at the guest house, and finally, we planted them out at the cemetery, a group of white and pink in the northwest corner that will be a mass of color in years to come, I hope. I went swimming with Lyndon and Lucy and Lynn, who frighteningly has absolutely no fear of the water. No fear, in fact, of anything. Lyndon is at home with him in any situation, and Patrick Lyndon gravitates to him as naturally as he does to his mother. Late in the afternoon, I had a hairdo, and then our dinner guests arrived at 7. But this quiet time at the ranch still held some planning for the future. We had asked Dr. and Mrs. Vandiver from Rice University in Houston to come up with George and Alice Brown. Dr. Grover is in Austin doing some work on the library, and he and Dr. and Mrs. Joe France came out. The nine of us sat under the trees in the front yard in the fading light and talked about the oral history project. We hope that Dr. Vandiver will head a group of historians who will advise the interviewers, set down some guidelines, evaluate what they're doing, make the project more truly useful for historians of the future. I liked him very much, Dr. Vandiver. I wished, in fact, that we might have him for some more substantive role in this library School of Public Service project. The hummingbirds dipped into the red yucca. They liked that especially, and in the backyard, the petunias. Sometimes I see as many as three at a time. The late evening air was soft and pleasant. What a summer this has been. We rode through the Martin and the dance, saw a multitude of deer, came back for a delicious dinner, and then watched a movie in the hangar, the May 67 monthly report. And Alice and I talked about the things we are going to do after January the 20th. Merida and Cozumel are high on our list, and I would love to travel by car across Spain with her. It was a pleasant day. Dr. Vandiver sounded excited and very willing to work with us on the oral history project. There was some sense of accomplishment, but not the high racing acceleration of so many of the days of these last 5 years. For me, at least. For Lyndon, there had been a good meeting yesterday with the Association of Negro Doctors in convention at Houston. A warm, apparently happy meeting when he had been in tune with his 2,300 or so listeners, speaking of our nation's health, the progress of the last years for Negroes and for medicine. It's interesting that in spite of the loud and raucous cries of Negro agitators, that so much of the best mail he gets, so many of the friendliest groups he talks to, are largely composed of Negroes.